From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of October, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. I'll update you on the weekend weather forecast. It looks like a wet one across the Corn Belt. And Emerson Nafziger will be here to discuss what that earlier wet spell across the Corn Belt meant for crop loss from the combine and how many bushels an acre he thinks might have been lost in the state of Illinois. And that all comes up on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, December corn today in Chicago finished at $5.32 a bushel. That was 7 cents lower for the afternoon. The nearby contract in the March at 541.5 down 6.25, and May at 545.75, 5.75 of a bushel lower. November beans, $12.24, 21.5 lower. The January 12.33.5 down 21.5, and the March there down 20.75 at 12.43.5. Bean meal, $3.24 down $4.40. The bean oil at $62.58, $2.12 lower. Wheat futures in the December soft red at 741.25 down 8. The hard red at 747.75, 12 lower. And spring wheat down 4.25 at $9.85.5. Speaking of spring wheat, we'll include a wheat specialist or somebody who deals with spring wheat more often than not on our Commodity Week program recorded this afternoon. You can find that up on our website tonight by about 6 o'clock. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agriculture, recorded usually on Thursday afternoons. Live cattle futures now at $129.55 per 100 pounds, down 97.5 cents. Feeder cattle in January at 160 even, down 47.5, and lean hogs at $73.20, $2.82.5 lower for the day. Crude oil at $82.53 a barrel, down 89 cents. Diesel fuel at 2.54 1/10. That's heating oil, down 4 2/10 cents per gallon. And gasoline on the Arbob, down 2 7/10. The wholesale price there per gallon at $2.41 9/10. Natural gas at $5.12 2/10. That's down 4 9/10 cents for the afternoon. Some of the other outside markets: U.S. dollar at 93.775 is up 0.240 for the afternoon, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at this time is trading at 35,389, just about 88 points lower. Matt Bennett from agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us to discuss the trade in Chicago. Hi, Matt. Thank you for being with us. How are things on the farm to begin with?
Really good. We're pretty much planning on being done here on Friday. We don't have a whole lot left. We're down to about 60 or 70 acres. So we've been fighting some wet conditions and some river bottoms here the last couple of days. But regardless, we're in really good shape. And barring a major issue that we aren't planning on, we'll get done here before the next weather event.
Yeah, that big weather event is coming supposedly Sunday into maybe parts of Monday. It looks like it could drop 3 inches of rain on a large part of the Corn Belt. I think on a line from about Quincy, Illinois, all the way to maybe Cleveland, Ohio, for the heaviest part. But that it covers the whole of the Corn Belt. That could be interesting for farmers to have to deal with, especially because soybeans were mostly harvested later than corn this year. What impact might that have, do you think?
Well, there's no doubt whenever it comes to these beans that you start getting events like that, and then all of a sudden you have issues with the beans popping out of the pods and a lot of head loss there. And, there's just a lot of problems that you've got. The problem is this time of year, too, it's really tough to get very many good hours of the day to cut beans once you get on out past this time frame. Not to mention that if the ground gets soaked again, I'll tell you what, it's just pretty tough to dry out. Especially whenever you're looking at a day like today, where yesterday, you had a t-shirt on, today you need a parka.
Yeah, so between what, 1 and 5 inches of rain, I'll tell you what, if you were on the harsh end of that by the time we get to Monday morning, it could be rough end of the harvest season for you. I talked to Emerson Nafziger earlier today, and we'll hear this in just a bit. One of the issues that he was concerned about was the number of bushels of corn, because we had such a good start and it was so dry to begin with. The dry down was so fast. The number of bushels of corn left on the ground, he mentions 3 to 4, but it doesn't take but I think 2 kernels per square foot, if I remember right, for a bushel to be on the ground in the field for corn. So it just doesn't take very much. At combine loss, just regular chatter, for corn and then for beans too. Do you think that that 210 number in Illinois will continue to come down?
Yeah, that's kind of my thought. You know, I know we talked about it before that I thought 214 was way too high, and you know, certainly the USDA agreed with me on that. But whether we're going to go down 2 bushel or 4 bushel, I don't know. But by all means, I think that if you take Illinois to, for instance, a 206 or a 207 crop, that's still one heck of a corn crop. And so I definitely think we're going to move a little bit lower yet. The theme just continues to be pleasantly surprised, if not really happy, you know, with bean yields, whereas on corn, you know, just a major mixed bag. You know, there's definitely some really good fields out there, but there's certainly some areas where producers felt like, you know, they were quite disappointed.
Yesterday was a good day in Chicago as it relates to prices going higher. Today was not. Why was that the case?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of things, but maybe the market's just a little bit wore out. You know, we've certainly had some upward movement here. You know, and quite frankly, whenever you get into the third week of October, you don't typically associate that with rallies, especially whenever you're posting what a lot of people think is a national record soybean crop, and, you know, corn is banging on the door as well. Typically, whenever you have that situation, you certainly don't see rallies. And so, pretty darn good week in the market up to this point. Really good export sales this morning, but you know, the market had started its downward trajectory, and the export sales certainly didn't change anything. And so, yeah, I just think that some of the buyers went to the sidelines, and I think there was a lot of folks taking profit.
Does the marketing of this crop, both corn and soybeans, need patience for producers, or do they need to expedite?
That's a great question. And I think the thing is on a year like this is that you're very much blessed with the situation where if you make a bad decision and you sell too early, if you will, you're still selling at one heck of a price. And so given the kind of yields that most producers, both corn and soybeans, here in our part of the state and throughout a large part of the Midwest, what they're looking at these types of levels, excellent prices. Now, do you sell and then you re-own for later? You know, I think I like to keep some corn ownership for sure. We were about 70% sold coming into harvest, you know, and we wanted to put everything else in the bin. And so I think what we've already found is that the basis has started to improve, you know, and we're just now 50% of the way through harvest. So I think it's a sign of things to come. Definitely the pipeline was as empty as what it could be, both corn and beans, but I think relatively speaking, even more so on corn. You know, and so I do think that on farther down the road, you're going to see some interesting dynamics with this market, you know, especially if you continue with the discussion that we've had lately, you know, with input costs and 22 acreage.
Yeah, so meaning that there might not be as many corn acres and we could be short corn for next year. So that does kind of bring me to the next question, which is we talked about expediting or selling at this point, probably patience needed maybe, but how long does that patience need to stay in place? Are we talking about through January? Does corn get better? And I know a lot depends on what happens in South America, but does corn and or soybeans get better over the winter time? Are the doldrums going to set in, which oftentimes happens after a big crop? What's your expectation?
Yeah, my expectation is that this is a year where it's tough to have expectations, quite frankly. You know, it's just a tough year to outguess this market. And so, you know, what I think is that this December 22 corn market, for instance, is going to have to stay quite strong, given the fact that you've got extremely high input costs. You know, spot market, you know, on most of your dry fertilizers running 2.5 times what it was a year ago, anhydrous ammonia, almost three times where we were at a year ago, spot price around $1,200. A lot of people are talking about now. Yes, the summer fill programs for all those fertilizer, dry fertilizer and anhydrous are definitely better prices. But what I'm talking about is whenever they run out of those, if we do get a good fall run, if someone's been waiting around on better prices, I don't think they're going to see them. So I think these 22 corns either going to have to stay very strong or even rally to keep acres or get acres, if you will. And I think if you come in March 31st with 90 million or below or 91 million or below, you know, I think that then you're going to get a rally because you did not get the acres.
And finally, what are you hearing from farmers and dealers across the Corn Belt about availability of fertilizer and other input products that they would be using in 2022?
The biggest problem is what's going to happen this fall. You know, and I think the dry fertilizer, you know, you, to an extent, you can live without it. You know, I mean, it, at least compared to anhydrous ammonia. But the problem is if you don't get a really good fall run on anhydrous ammonia, then we're really looking at some major logistic issues for next spring. So, you know, I've got to tell the producer, just be cautious if there's any chance at all, you know, that you can get your anhydrous on, you know, and environmentally friendly fashion. You know, obviously some folks are already starting. We've heard, you know, it might have been a little bit warm for some people's likings. But, you know, if you can get it on, I'd go ahead and get it on because there's no guarantee you're even going to be able to get a hold of it next spring.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net. In today's agricultural news, the House Agriculture Committee is advancing several bills today, including one to boost cattle contract transparency. The bipartisan, industry-backed Cattle Contract Library Act is expected to boost contract transparency and producer leverage in negotiating with packers. That's a top concern in the highly concentrated industry. Here's Georgia Republican Representative Rick Allen at a recent House Ag hearing.
The Agriculture Marketing Service maintains a library of the various contracts and pricing arrangements in the swine industry. However, no such contract library exists for cattle producers. I have heard from several cattlemen about the need to provide more transparency in the market, particularly for formula transactions.
And U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack was also asked about the issue.
The President's executive order has asked us to put together a report due in December on this very issue. I don't want to anticipate and expect what the report's ultimately going to conclude, but I think to the extent that we can create more information for producers about what contracts ought to be, what contracts are, the more transparency, I think the stronger the market is.
The House Ag Committee is considering bills for rural development, scholarship funding at 1890s institutions, chronic wasting disease research, forest restoration, and wildlife assessments, along with carbon sequestration grants. Well, the Department of Agriculture released a joint statement following the bilateral meeting between the Secretaries of Agriculture for the United States and Mexico. The meeting focused on agricultural trade between the two countries. In the statement, the leaders say, quote, "We reaffirm the importance of our two nations' exceptional agricultural trading relationship." The discussions highlighted the importance of the countries continuing to work together to advance rural prosperity and to fulfill a shared responsibility to protect agricultural systems and producers, according to the USDA. That includes collaborative efforts to prevent the spread of African swine fever, or ASF, and other animal and plant diseases and pests. The two countries also addressed climate change, saying, quote, "Our farmers, ranchers, and producers are on the front lines dealing with the increasingly urgent challenges of climate change," unquote. The two secretaries expressed confidence that agriculture in the United States and Mexico would be a key part of the solution. And finally today, a recent study found that corn and corn gluten meal are the top two most used plant-based ingredients in pet food products. Corn is the dominant plant-based carbohydrate at 1.2 million tons, and corn gluten meal is the dominant plant-based protein ingredient at 476,000 tons used annually. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, to discuss, just a few things and he's been thinking about as it relates to fall harvest as it continues. Harvest was pretty good to begin with, slowed down because of rainfall. There'll be some time now for producers to get back in the field, and another rain's due to come in, actually pretty heavy by the time we get to the end of the weekend. You were thinking about what you've seen in the field, though, as it relates to the really quick dry down of the corn crop in particular. Can you tell me a little bit about harvest loss at the combine?
Well, before it rained, we really didn't notice it too much unless you were looking closely. But when it rains like it did the second week of October after harvest had been done, it germinated most of the seed that were lying on the surface that had been lost at harvest time. And so it makes a real visual reminder, not one that we're all too pleased to see, but it's almost unavoidable. Some of this is pretty much unavoidable when we get a crop that really dries down quickly like it did this year. And I made the comment that we could have started corn harvest in the first week of September at 24 or 5%, but it certainly didn't stay there very long. And by the time most people got into serious harvest with corn and back in September, a lot of corn was below 20%, and a fair amount of it was down in that 15-16% range. When ears like that come into a combine header, the stripper plates, and hit the stripper plate to pop the ear off, it's just very common for several kernels to be shelled at the base of the ear. I think some of it comes from having genetically improved shank strength. We've had eardrop problems in the past with certain hybrids, and it's something that's very visual. And people really hate seeing ears on the ground from the combine. So those have been improved by selection, and that generally means that shank is a lot stronger. And so when we're trying to take the ear off of the plant at the corn head, then we're going to typically shell some kernels off the base of that ear. There's not a great deal we can do to stop that, except I guess we could slow the whole process down, but that doesn't really help very much. There have been innovations to try to keep some of the kernels that shell off in that process in the combine and take them into the threshing operation in the combine, but those aren't generally completely successful. And now that it's rained and we're going to get back to corn and it's going to be back down to those low moistures, maybe not quite as low as it was before, but they're going to dry down fairly quickly. And this weathering process probably is going to loosen those kernels just a little bit more even. So it's not something that we can just go out and fix, but it's just something that I've observed. When we like to get corn dry before we harvest so we don't have to pay drying charges, I think that's just one of the penalties that we pay for it. Soybeans are about the same thing, although, and they got very dry as well. We combined some here, and in about 2 or 3 hours' time from 11 to 3 in the afternoon, moistures went down from the 12s to the 10s. That's pretty typical for soybeans. One of the concerns with delays from rainfall is, are we going to start losing soybean grain, right out there before the combine even gets there? Generally, the answer is not very much. Shattering in soybean has really been bred out to a large extent. But the pods get weathered and they get pretty fragile. And anything that's causing us to lose some seed with the combine, either in the header or out the back of the combine, is not going to improve as time goes on.
How much do you think is lost from the combine for both corn and soybeans?
You know, we tend to notice the fields that look the worst, and I don't have a good sense for what an average is. But I don't think we'd be too shocked to find, if we did a thorough survey, to find that there's, you know, 4, 5, 6 bushels lost in corn fields, and maybe half that in soybean fields. And it depends a great deal. I mean, we can, with fast changeover now, we can harvest soybeans in the morning before they get too dry and then change over to corn. And that's a thing that a lot of people do. And that helps, certainly. But, you know, if we had the ideal, corn would probably go down to about, you know, 20% and stay there, and soybeans to about 13% and stay there. And that's just not the way it works in the world. So we're happy to not pay much drying charge, but, and we've got good yields this year, but, when the rain fell and it brought all of those seeds up after harvest, that's just a visual indicator of what we've left in the field.
It does look like a cover crop.
Well, it really does. There's about 2 corn seeds per square foot and about 4 soybean seeds per square foot. It's a bushel per acre. And these are never evenly distributed across the combine width, but when they're very heavy behind the combine, it's certainly not hard to estimate that we've lost bushels out there that are never going to get to the elevator.
Emerson Nafziger is an extension agronomist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. You can read more from him in his article posted to the Crop Central website. You can find a link to that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Mike Tenor is out of the office on this Thursday, but I think really the only thing you'll be concerned about across the bulk of the Corn Belt is the rainfall that's likely to develop late into Saturday evening and through the day Sunday, finishing out on Monday. There will be some heavy rainfall on a line from roughly Quincy, Illinois, all the way to Cleveland, maybe as much as 3 inches in that area. That's Cleveland, Ohio, that is. However, that storm will envelop most of the Corn Belt from Fargo all the way around on a loop that includes Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, parts of Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, and the bulk of the Corn Belt. That's a quick look at the weather forecast. You've, of course, been listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org.